This is a very special place to others who have been here over the years. Is there anyone here in this meeting tonight who was in Brant Lake in 1946, the summer that the camp opened here? Sister Ruth, great. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else? Well, I've heard of this place referred to over the years as a vestibule of heaven. That's a nice phrase, isn't it? A vestibule of heaven. And I guess there are a few ways you could, you know, interpret that or think about that. But a vestibule is the place you stop and maybe fix yourself before you go in, right? So maybe that's one way to think of it. A place where God prepares us for what he has in store for us. You know, it says that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, or in the NIV, what does it say? The mind has not conceived. The things that God has in store, what he has prepared for those who in one place love him, and in another, it's quoted from Isaiah in Corinthians, it says those who wait for him. I love the New Testament variation on that, the Apostle Paul, don't you, where he says, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. So he's letting us into it, at least in measure. He's showing us the things that are in his great heart for us that spring from his loving design over his people. We're so thankful for that. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. It goes on to say that we haven't received the spirit of this world, but the Spirit of God. He's given to us his Spirit that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So there's a wonderful work of revelation where our appetite, our hunger, and our thirst is strengthened, our appetite is whetted, I was about to say, for the things of God. The things of God, we're awakened as the Spirit of God moves upon us. And so I'm so thankful for that, and I'm so thankful for this vestibule of heaven where we can seek the Lord and where he can shine into our hearts and minds and reveal himself to us and show us what he has for us. And just thinking today, I don't know if I thought of this before, but that it is the 40th. This is the 40th Labor Day prayer retreat. We've had Labor Day weekends, I guess, ever since camp began. I don't know, I wasn't here yet. Sister Ruth, did they start right at the beginning with a Labor Day weekend? And 1946? You remember that far back, huh? Yeah. and I remember the last, you know, they had weekends. They were wonderful weekends. I remember the last one that wasn't a prayer retreat. That was in 1967. It was my first year on the staff, if I can be a little personal about it. That was the year that we sent Sister Gerda off to Taiwan. Yes, they had her up here in the middle, and the big guns were praying over her. the ministers that were here, Uncle Hans was here, and he preached a mighty sermons that weekend, I guess it was a special weekend for church workers and Sunday school teachers. And I remember that right after that, Sister Gerda went to Taiwan for the first time. And they prayed over her here. I don't know if this was the reason, but it was during that next year that Uncle Hans, who came, he was the speaker on these weekends, I suppose, for the most part in those years. And the, you know, the beach was open and the boats and the shuffleboard and the ping pong, and it was a great fun time. And then the meetings that we'd have. But maybe it was because he took ill in 68 in the spring. He had a stroke and he was not going to be able to be here. I don't know, there seemed to be a sense that the Lord was leading us to change things, leading them, I was just a kid, but to change things, and they decided to have a time specifically for seeking the Lord and waiting upon Him. So they started having afternoon meetings too. Not just morning and evening, but afternoon. That was in 68. So this is the 40th one. Like that, the 40th consecutive one. Well, I found out that it was a different group. Many of the same people, I should say. Many of the same people. But there were others who weren't that interested. And then there were others that were more interested and joined the group because they just wanted to seek and find the Lord and give themselves to a time of waiting before Him. And they found, I think, right away that first year, they were sure that that was the move that God had wanted them to make. There was a confirmation. It was a wonderful time. I was here that year too. And I haven't been here all 40 years in between. In fact, not many at all. But I can remember that 1968. And if you'll just pardon me for just a couple minutes. Brother and Sister Wannenmacher were here that year ministering to us. That parents of Sister Lois and in-laws. He refers to his father-in-law pretty frequently when he preaches, and that's Brother Wannenmacher. And he was here, and his wife. And they were such a blessing that year. And then there was Sister Pearl Young. She was here also. And I was very touched by her ministry. I can remember that. I think it was the first time I had seen her other times. She came home a couple times before that from Taiwan and stayed with us in the home and all that. But this was the first time when I really heard what she was saying. I mean, with some appreciation and understanding to take it in. And it was a very special time for me. I remember it well. I remember she spoke very calmly. She never raised her voice. It was almost the presentation would have been somewhat boring, I think, to some folks at least. You really had to listen to the words, but the words were just full of meaning and life, because I know they came from the heart of God, and the call of God was there in her ministry. You sensed God was calling you to just consecrate your life to Him and come into His presence and press close to Him and be all for Jesus. And there was something so attractive about obedience. Is that attractive? Well, she made it just like the greatest possible joy to just want to do everything that Jesus ever said, just and find Him and find His presence and a life in His will. It was just such a blessing, and it's for you, and you must experience it for yourself. You can't enter into what I've known. Well, you can, but you have to have it for you, not by virtue of what your parents or your pastor have experienced or what I've experienced. It must be something, and it can be something. That's it. It's not just it must be. You can know the Lord. You can be filled with His Spirit. You can walk in His will. There is no peace, no joy, no thrill like walking in His will. I remember the way she spoke to us. And she was over there one day in the meeting, right there by Cecil. Right there she was sitting. There was a little table there, and next to it she was. And she stood, and she read something by Gerhard Terstegen. I'm sure I had heard snatches of that before. But I snuck over there later, and I picked up her Bible, and I saw she had it written in the front or back of her Bible, in her handwriting. She had, but she wasn't reading it. She was reciting it. Well, I have to read it. And I told you, just give me a couple minutes. This is from the first of the 40 prayer retreats that we've had here. And it touched my heart. And at the end of it, it says just that. I can talk to you about Jesus, but I can't bring you His fullness. You have to come and drink. You have to receive. And this is what she read or recited to us. Allured into the desert, with God alone, apart, There spirit meeteth spirit, there speaketh heart to heart. Far, far on that untrodden shore, God's secret place I find. Alone I pass the golden door, the dearest left behind. There God and I, none other, oh, far from men to be. Nay, midst the crowd and tumult, still, Lord, alone with Thee. Still folded close upon Thy breast, in field and mart and street, untroubled in that perfect rest, that isolation sweet. O God, Thou art far other than men have dreamed and taught, unspoken in all language, unpictured in all thought. Thou God art God. He only learns what that great name must be, whose raptured heart within him burns because he walks with Thee. Stilled by that wondrous presence, that tenderest embrace, the years of longing over, do we behold Thy face. We seek no more than Thou hast given. We ask no vision fair. Thy precious blood has opened heaven, and we have found Thee there. O weary souls, draw near Him. To you I can but bring one drop of that great ocean, one blossom of that spring. Sealed with His kiss, my lips are dumb. My soul with awe is still. Let him that is athirst but come and freely drink his fill. I remember her reading that and how it went into my heart that we can know Jesus personally in such a precious and soul-satisfying way if we will but come and drink. We taste of Thee, Thou living bread, and long to feed upon Thee still. We drink of Thee, Thou fountainhead, and thirst our souls from Thee to fill. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing together. Drinking at the springs of living water. 4-6-2. And those who'd like to stand with me, let's do that as we sing.
Drinking at the springs of living water, and
can be satisfied. Let's be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.